what Russia has done is put in place a capacity to potentially cripple us in terms of our electricity, our water, our communications. I mean, this is the same sort of thing one can do in a wartime setting. And so it's extraordinarily dangerous, and it's an outrageous affront on our sovereignty, and one that's going to have to be met with a very strong response.
Now, Chris Krebs, a former head of CISA, he says Romney's overstating that this was done by the intelligence directorate within the Russians, and so it was not for attack, it was for intelligence gathering. He says it was not the military, not the GRU, so he says Romney is overstating, but I think a lot of us are in the position of kind of wondering just how bad was it. Joining us now, Congressman Matt Gaetz, our congressman from Northwest Florida. Matt, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Is Romney right, or do we even know? How serious was this cyber attack?
Well, I think Mitt Romney has a long history of being very focused on Russia. I think it's a bit of an antiquated foreign policy perspective. You know, I believe China is the biggest threat. Now, that said, there are a number of criminals and thieves inside Russia that intend malign influence. They don't always have state backing. Sometimes they're pursuing their own agenda. Sometimes they have the backing of some oligarch who's, you know, loosely affiliated with the state. But I do agree that we have to become more resilient to these attacks at home. I think that oftentimes we spend our precious treasure toiling away, trading the same villages back and forth with the Taliban in Afghanistan, and an investment in greater resilience would be important, because I do think, while I disagree with Senator Romney frequently, that he's right about the types of capabilities that our adversaries could develop if we don't become, a lot more focused on cyber threat and threat to our critical infrastructure.
Well, and we run up against the similar kind of problem that we saw fighting terrorism, which is we're no longer dealing, like you said, with state actors necessarily. So a guy with his laptop somewhere, you know, can be just as much a threat as any state actor. And then how do you retaliate against them? How do you handle that if you can't find them and isolate them? I mean, it's to me, it's very complicated. And the NDAA, of course, is going to likely get vetoed by the president. You tell me if I'm wrong. You voted against it, but that has a provision, as I understand it, that would empower folks like CISA to go more actively prosecute these things, even though you are likely to vote again. Are you going to vote to override or not to override the veto when it happens?
No, I'm against the NDAA, and that's despite the fact that you've correctly identified provisions within it that are very helpful. I can't vote for a bill that makes it harder for any president to bring our troops home just because Congress financially benefits from a system that engages in a system of perpetual low-yield, low-grade war. So I have different reasons, but we have passed legislation that has strengthened the authorities that our cyber entities do have for both offensive and defensive engagement. But how you prosecute that engagement gets trickier when you have an asymmetric threat, like you said.
Right.
It's not as if we can go, you know, shut down some energy sites in Russia and call it even, because the threat is asymmetric.
You know, obviously the big news of the day is, I guess you guys are going to vote, what, today in the House on the CARES Act, which is going to have all...
Oh,
I mean...
what a day. My last notice, we've got our team assembled, and we do not yet have legislative text.
What?
There will be hundreds, if not thousands, of pages about everything from restaurants to coronavirus to any other number of issues, and they expect us to vote on something today that we do not yet have the text of.
That's amazing. Cause, I mean, I saw a report late last night, like midnight, that it came out. The AP was giving some of the outlines, but I was just trying to get somebody to tell me how much kids were going to be paid for, you know, and it looks like $600 a piece. But, like, you don't even have text yet? When are you going to get it?
They say we'll have it as soon as it's available. Now, again, dribs and drabs of different components have leaked out, but you got to evaluate these things in terms of how they interact with each other. You know, how the kid payment versus the individual payment versus the business payment, how much of that is appropriated versus distributed through Fed policy and the printing of money. Those are things we do not know, and this is no way to run a railroad. And by the way, Andrew, it's on purpose. If they wanted to give us the information to review with our constituents and stakeholders, they could. But in Congress, they figure if they back you up against Christmas, you'll vote for almost anything. And that's why I'm in Washington right now, anxiously awaiting a review of the text.
It's weird how, like, in Congress, it seems like things are unbelievably slow, or they're super overrushed. Like, when you were in Florida in the State House there, you know, the way we do things makes sense. You know, you have committee hearings, several different committees. You have experts testify. You think about the interaction of one thing with another thing, and then you come to a wise policy, and most of it doesn't get passed. In Congress, it's crazy to throw all this money into the economy in all these different places without any real thought of how giving this many billions to the movie industry or this many billions to help rental assistance might disrupt the market. It's craziness.
Well, and it is because in Washington we don't have a single subject rule. You see, in the state of Florida, we evaluate the healthcare budget, you know, one week, one session. Then we do the criminal justice budget. Then we do the environmental budget. And it allows you to make decisions within a silo that can be reviewed with some level of specificity. Here, the whole purpose is to try to, you know, kind of give the members of Congress mushroom treatment, you know, lock us in the dark and feed us nothing but trash, and then hope that that people, for the sake of just going home, will vote yes on anything. But it's not an effective way to do coronavirus response. It is not an effective way to budget. And just the issue you mentioned, rental assistance, is one, you know, that I'm very very closely watching, because what you do for a renter impacts the landlord, impacts the bank,
right,
impacts the financial health of a community. And so there are a number of cascading effects that one cannot evaluate in a matter of seconds or minutes. You need, you know, hours or days to really grasp these things.
At this point, based on what you know, and I know you're going to wait for the actual text, but at this point, are you a yes or a no on this thing?
You know, at this point, I'm a no, and that's not that I don't think that there will be good provisions that will make their way into the bill. I just think that if you keep voting for this system that doesn't allow thorough review, that doesn't allow me to, you know, call the restaurateurs in my district, call the landlords and, you know, businesses in my district to get their perspective, it's not something that I can lend Northwest Florida's vote to, because I'm not certain of the consequences. And now, you know, that doesn't mean we're not fighting to still get things in the bill. I think the Restaurants Act is one of the things I'm fighting hard for, to ensure that, you know, we don't lose a massive job creator throughout the country. I'm glad that Governor Ron DeSantis has taken an approach that embraces individual choice and freedom a bit more. And that's not to say we shouldn't, you know, make smart individual choices, Andrew. I got to tell you, I just got a note from my mother yesterday that because my parents are a little older and they've got some other complicating health ailments, you know, we're not going to do a traditional Christmas this year. We're going to have an outside, socially distanced exchange of gifts that'll be a little bit briefer. And so I'm not one who just says, you know, throw caution to the wind and do whatever you want. I do think that we've got to be careful, and I think that will come with some sacrifice. But I can't endorse a system up here in Washington that asks us to do the impossible and then to go back home and act to our constituents like this was all real governing,
right,
and not just the leadership trading deals back and forth.
And by the way, one of the elements in the bill that you have expressed great support for, and I totally agree with you, is the ending of surprise medical billing, which is a big deal if that gets passed as well. Hey, I wanted to ask you, it's a little bit of a small note, but Tulsi Gabbard is your proxy vote on the floor. First of all, did you get coronavirus? Why can't you go to the floor?
Well, they have asked on the floor to have a little bit less activity. I cannot stress to you the age of the Congress. This is an old comorbid group. And so as a younger person who's been traveling a little longer, Tulsi did cast my vote against a one-day continuing resolution yesterday. But, you know, I haven't handed her Northwest Florida's vote card indefinitely. That was just for one day, limit a little traffic on the floor. I'm in Washington this morning and we'll be casting our votes today. But, you know, Tulsi is a person that I've worked with closely on the Armed Services Committee. We obviously don't share every view. She's a Democrat, I'm a Republican. But it might surprise some people around the country to know that there are Democrats and Republicans that trust one another, that work together. And Tulsi's someone I hope to maintain a good friendship with after her time in public life concludes.
Last question for you before we go on Christmas break, Matt, is you recently gave some romance advice to a jet ski user on your podcast.
Yes.
And aside from playing matchmaker internationally, the one thing that caught my attention was this.
Now, it's only a fool who looks for logic in matters of the human heart, according to my favorite movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou is your favorite movie of all time? Defend.
I love O Brother, Where Art Thou. I love the Coen brothers. One of my favorite scenes might be when Papio Daniel is going in to talk on the radio show, of all things, mm-hmm. on the Papio Daniel Flower Hour, and they ask him if he wants to do any shaking of hands of constituents, and he said, "We're not one at a time, and we're mass communicating." So thank you, Andrew, for letting me mass communicate with you on so many of these Monday mornings.
Absolutely. Matt Gaetz, he is our congressman of Northwest Florida District 1. Matt, have a great Christmas and a wonderful new year, and we'll see you in January.
You as well, Andrew. Take care.